Welcome to Cross to Light. Cross to Light has been organized for the purpose of helping people cross from darkness to light by hearing the gospel message. We are a ministry fully committed and dedicated to getting out the gospel of Jesus Christ by the power of His might. And now, here's today's message.
Then the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium. And they called together the whole garrison. And they clothed him with purple. And they twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews. Then they struck him on the head with a reed and they spat on him. And bowing the knee, they worshipped him. And when they mocked him, they took the purple off of him, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. Why did Jesus Christ have to go to the cross and die for the sins of the world? The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Greater love has no one than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. When God first created the first two human beings, Adam and Eve, and he put them in the Garden of Eden, he said, "Of all the trees and all the fruits of the garden you may freely eat, but of the fruit that's in the center of the garden, the day that you eat of that fruit, you shall surely die." And through a series of events, they disobeyed God and ate from that fruit. And the Bible says, by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death spread to all men. The Bible says that when they ate from that tree, that there was a wall that went up between a holy God and sinful man. And God said, "Is my hand short that I can't touch you? No. Is my ear heavy that I can't hear you? No. But your sins have separated me from you." When Jesus came, he says, "I have come to break down that middle wall of separation. And I have come to preach to you who were afar off." The Bible says we have all sinned. In the book of Ecclesiastes, it says, "There's not a just man on the earth that does good and does not sin. There is none righteous." You see, the word sin comes from an archery term. They give the archer 10 arrows. They draw a circle on the wall. He would shoot the 10 arrows at the circle. If 9 arrows went inside, but 1 arrow went outside, it was called a sin. The word sin means to miss the mark. And the Bible says we have all sinned. The wages of sin, one sin, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. All of us have sinned before God. The first commandment says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind." Have you done that? Have you put God first? The second commandment says, "Thou shalt not make any graven images." A graven image is an idol. An idol is anything, anything at all, that takes God's place in your life. What occupies your mind the most? Do you have other things that you think about that you put before God? The Bible says, "Thou shalt not make any graven images." The Bible says, "Thou shalt not use the Lord's name in vain." It says, "By every idle word that you speak, you will have to give an account. By your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." The Bible says, "Thou shalt not use his name, the holy name of God, in vain." You use his name as a cuss word? The Bible says that he will not hold him guiltless who uses my name in vain. The Bible says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. The Bible says, honor thy father and mother. God has given you your parents in the Lord to watch over you, to instruct you in the way you should go. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is older, he will not depart from it. It's the first commandment with the promise. Honor thy father and mother, that you may live long on the earth. Do you respect what your parents say? The Bible says the wages of sin, one sin, is enough to separate you from a holy God for all eternity. The Bible says, thou shalt not murder. But Jesus says that if we've gotten angry in our heart towards another person, we've already committed murder, because murder starts in the heart. See, man looks at the outside, but God looks at the heart, and there will be a day when God will judge the secrets of men's hearts. God knows everything about you, friend. He knows you're sitting down, and he knows you're standing up, and he knows your thoughts from afar off. The Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. But Jesus said that if we look with lust towards another person, that we've already committed adultery in our heart. Because out of the heart flows evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, blasphemes. The heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things. But God said, cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed. Turn towards me, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. The Bible says, thou shalt not steal. Are you involved in stealing? Maybe you're involved in downloading music from the internet. Or you're dishonest on some type of report that you do at work. The Bible says, thou shalt not steal. The Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness. That usually comes along with stealing. Usually after we steal something, then we got to cover it up. And one thing leads to another. The Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness. The wages of sin, one sin, is enough to separate us from God for all of eternity. The last commandment says, thou shalt not covet. The Bible says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, for I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Do you covet things that other people have? Do you look at someone else's house or someone else's bank account or maybe someone else's wife and say that you wish you had that for yourself? The Bible says, thou shalt not covet. All of us have sinned. All of us have sinned before God, and the Bible says, surely your sin will find you out. Maybe you think that no one knows that you're involved in these things, but the Bible says all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. All the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all of the paths. God knows everything about you. And he wants to give you a whole new start on life. The Bible says that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, will cleanse you from all sin. The wages of sin is death. One sin is enough to separate you from God for all of eternity. You see, when we die, there's only two places that we go. One place is a place called hell. Jesus warned his disciples over and over and over about this place. He said it's a place of outer darkness, a place where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. You see, this is the most horrible place you could ever imagine. In the book of Luke, it says the rich man died, he was buried, and he awoke in torment. The minute that he died, his last breath on earth, he woke up into the flames of hell. And he wished he had this opportunity that I'm going to give to you to be forgiven of all of your sins. Oh, how they wish they would have heard this message. But see, after we die, it's too late. In the book of Revelation, it says, let him who is wicked be wicked still, and let him who is unjust be unjust still. When you take your last breath, it's too late. You've sealed your destiny for all of eternity. There's another place you can go, and it's a place called heaven. It's the dwelling place of God. The Bible says that in his presence is the fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. The Apostle Paul said, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, that how he was caught up into paradise, and he heard unexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor even entered into the hearts of man, the things that the Lord has prepared for those who love him. When Jesus says that I go to prepare a place for you, for in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I tell you, the dwelling place of God, in his presence is the fullness of joy, all eternity, into a place that your mind can't even imagine. And it's all free because what he did on the cross for us. Greater love has no one than this, that a man would lay his life down for his friends. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet perhaps for a good man would one even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. What a beautiful thing it is when man realizes he needs to be forgiven and he humbles himself. The Bible says he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, and taking the form of a man, he humbled himself even to the death of the cross. And God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God loves you. He knows everything that you're going through. The Bible says that his thoughts towards you are more numerable than all the sand on all the beaches. The Bible says that his thoughts towards you are good thoughts, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And that hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. You see, great is the mystery of godliness. God himself was manifested in the flesh. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God himself loved you so much that he came to this earth, and he went to the cross, and he shed his blood to pay the penalty for every wrong thing that you've done. God loves you. It says, would a nursing mother forget her child or not remember the son of her womb? She may forget. She may forget. But he says, I will never forget you. I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. God loves you. It's not that we love God, but that God loved us and he sent his son to die on the cross for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. It doesn't matter what you've done. There's no sin that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, will not take care of. Because the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, will cleanse you from all sin. Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life, that no man comes to the Father except through me. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. We come boldly to the throne of grace for help in the time of need through Jesus Christ. And I want to give you an opportunity to come boldly to the throne of grace, and it's through Jesus Christ. He says, I will take all of your sins and cast them into the deepest sea, never to be remembered again. Cast away from you all your transgressions which you have committed, and turn towards me, and he'll give you a new heart and a new spirit. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. All things pass away, and all things become new. God wants to take you and put you on a new path. He wants to mark out that straight path for your feet. And then he wants you to stick to that path, and he wants you to stay safe, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame, and now is seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for you. He's praying that you will receive the greatest gift that has ever been given. It's for by grace you have been saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, God has already paid the price. It's already paid. It's free. Salvation is a free gift. But if I'm going to hand you a gift, what do you need to do? You need to take that gift and you need to receive it as your own. The Bible says he stands at the door of your heart, and all he wants to do is he wants to come in. If you invite him in, the door handle's on the inside. And if you open that door and invite him in, he says, I will come in and dine with you and you with me. The Bible says those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The Bible tells us there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 just people who need no repentance. The Bible says, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and that times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. God wants to bring you into the presence of the Lord through Jesus Christ, and I want to give you an opportunity. The Bible says, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open, and they were judged according to what was written in those books. And each person's name, not found written in another book, was cast into the lake burning with fire. That other book is the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus was the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And if you'll believe in your heart and you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. All the evidence in that book will be wiped out. It says that he'll blot out the handwriting of requirement that was contrary against you, and he'll nail it to the cross. And he'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you can live forever with him in eternity. I want to give you an opportunity to call on the only name, the name of Jesus. The Bible says you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. The Bible says whoever sees the Son and believes on him will have everlasting life. I want to give you an opportunity to call on the only name, the name of Jesus. He'll give you that whole new start in life, and He'll mark out that straight path for your feet, and you can start down that path today. Will you call on that name? The Bible says there's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 just people who need no repentance. Repentance, turning from your way and turning towards God. No more leaning on your own understanding, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The Bible says it'll be health to our flesh and strength to our bone. I want to lead you in a prayer. God knows everything about you, and He wants to give you that new start today. And it starts with confessing that He's your Lord. I want to give you an opportunity to call on the only name, the name of Jesus. And He wants to give you that new start today. The Bible says you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. Just say this prayer. God already knows your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for the sins that I have committed against you. And I turn from my sin today. I believe that you died on the cross and you shed your blood, that they put you into the grave, and 3 days later you rose again and conquered death for me. And now I turn from my sin and I turn towards you. Help me to follow you all the days of my life from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen.
I lift my eyes up unto the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from you, Maker of heaven, Creator.
If you've just received Jesus Christ into your life, or if you've made a recommitment, feel free to call 888-41-CROSS. Or give us a call if there's anything on your mind. We want to pray for you. We are excited about the decision you've made and are waiting to pray with you right now. 888-41-CROSS or 888-412-7677. Once again, 888-412-7677. If you've become a Christian today by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there are 4 things that you can do to help your travel down the road of faith. Imagine a car with 4 tires. It's critical that you have sufficient air in all 4 of your tires in order to move forward. Consider that the first tire is reading the Bible, the Word of God. That's how God speaks to you. The second tire is prayer. That's how you speak to God. In other words, you're engaging in a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The third tire is fellowship. That means you need to find a Bible-teaching church where you can be encouraged and built up, where you can pray with other Christians and for one another. The fourth and final tire is sharing your faith. Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Sharing your faith is important because it allows God to use you for His purposes. If you've made the decision to follow Jesus and would like us to send you a Bible, you can contact us at 888-41-CROSS. That's 888-412-7677. Or you may write to us at Cross to Light, P.O. Box 945, Fairview, Tennessee 37062. If you would like to join us as a prayer partner, go to crosstolight.com and click prayer. Cross to Light has been organized for the purpose of helping people cross from darkness to light by hearing the gospel message.
I live